This is a Global Tel Link prepaid call from.
I'll have my microserver music, I'll have my starting music, I'll have my closing music. And I think part of the relationship I have with my anaesthetists is that they know all this.
I hope I don't let people down. They've put me up on this pedestal. I hope they don't knock me off of it.
That is the least sexy name I've ever heard.
Okay. Okay. What's next? What's next? What's next?
Good morning. It's Tuesday, the 20th of April. It's 12 minutes past seven, which means it's time for Pick a Pod with Danae.
Hey, Osric, how are you going?
I'm doing okay. Inside, I'm all over the place, but externally, I'm trying to keep it all good.
That sounds great.
How are you?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really well. I'm really well. Thank you. I'm happy to chat with you about podcasts this week while our mate Taylor has a break.
Yes. I've listened to more podcasts in the last few days than I have done in the last year.
Well, there you go.
It has been quite a deep dive.
And you enjoyed it?
I did. I've come across quite a lot of content. It's an interesting world out there.
It sure is.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's about a million to choose from.
Right. What have you picked?
I've picked This Day in Esoteric Political History.
Okay.
It's a great title. It's a podcast that, as it suggests, picks a day and then finds a somewhat obscure story to go with it.
Interesting.
Created by Jody Avigan, a podcast host, producer and editor. I know his work from 30 for 30 podcasts from ESPN and 538, the political podcast about polls and other political issues in the US.
Okay.
But this is a new one with Nicole Hemmer, who's a scholar, and Kelly Carter Jackson, a 19th century historian. So they cover interesting stories. One of the things I really like about this podcast is that they tend to be 10 to 15 minutes long.
Mm.
So I can listen and stay concentrating and enjoy it. They haven't been around for terribly long, so there are plenty to choose from, all sorts of stories. But the one I've got a little from is from April 2nd. It's about the influenza. Well, it's about President Wilson because it's a US political history podcast.
Okay.
And the influenza pandemic of 1918,
okay,
not 2020.
Let's have a listen.
Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avigan. This day, April 2nd, 1919, Woodrow Wilson has the flu. The influenza pandemic is sometimes called the 1918 flu pandemic. It started in spring 1918, but it was the second wave, as we are all learning, in the fall of 1918 that was the most devastating, with the disease spreading into 1919. That is when President Wilson reportedly caught the flu either right before or right after he arrived in Paris for another round of talks to try and bring an end to the First World War. We're joined, as always, by Nicole Hemmer of Columbia University. I'll lay out what we know and don't know about this moment in a second. But we should say right off the bat, Nikki, that there's a little bit of controversy about whether he actually had the flu or there were some other things going on.
Yeah, so one of the things that people know about Wilson and his health is that he suffers a pretty serious stroke near the end of his presidency. So for a long time, historians talked about this illness as a mini stroke that he had had. But if you actually look at the set of symptoms that he had, including a really high fever, none of them really fit a stroke, and they all sound a whole lot like this pandemic that was ravaging the world at the time.
Yeah, I mean, by all accounts, and we'll talk a little bit about what the ramifications of this were, but he was very out of it. He was fever struck. He was sort of deteriorating rapidly over the course of these negotiations in Paris. One thing that's interesting is that it was underplayed at the time, I guess. You know, there was these questions about whether it was actually flu, but did they try and cover this up, or was it just that sort of reports were murky? Like, what did people know at the time?
Yeah,
are you interested already, Osric?
I am. And you know what? I love the idea of that because it's like a bite-sized piece of history that you can get up to speed with, and then it will just introduce you to a topic that you can go and explore further.
Well, one of the interesting ones was just from recently, April 15, about when Oprah talked about not eating meat.
Right.
And I don't know if you remember that. In 1996, She said she didn't want to know any more about eating meat. And then it started this furor. But the coverage of it on This Day in Esoteric Political History is fantastic. So if you don't know that story, I would suggest you go back. There are all sorts of things about Martin Luther King's speech in 1967, 3 Mile Meltdown in 1979. It's great. I really enjoy it.
I love the idea. My only, probably a bit biased, but it's obviously all US-based. It would be great if it covered other territories as well, but that would be quite an ask, I suppose.
I imagine there are similar podcasts that from New Zealand or Estonia. I have to find them.
Good find. Love it. That's a good one.
What have you got?
All right. I've got a question for you.
Okay.
How many friends is normal? How many friends is it normal to have?
80 to 120.
Good guess. That's not far off. Well, because I found a podcast called A Friend Indeed. And I did a bit of a deep dive like you. And what I liked about this, number one, is that they are about 15 to 20 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
It's run by a medical journalist called Nigel Pirates, I think is how you pronounce his surname. And he's basically exploring the topic of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to have a friend and so on and so forth? So he's done about 5 episodes. The first one being, Are You a Good Friend? He talks about friendships that cross cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And in this snippet I'm going to play, he is asking the question, how many friends is normal?
How many friends is normal?
It's a really, really interesting and hard question to start off with. So how we sort of see friendships being structured or social relationships being structured more broadly is if you imagine yourself sitting in a series of concentric circles, and as you move out through these circles, you feel less close to the people in those circles and you tend to communicate at a lower frequency. And a sort of number of different studies using a number of different samples have found that there's a circle that's sort of closest to us, which we call the support group, which has a mean size of around 5 people. Typically, your closest family and then maybe a couple of close friends. There's one further out called the sympathy group, which has a mean size of around 15. And we tend to think about this as people you could turn to in a crisis. So if something really bad happens in your life, who are the people that can support you? And then there's layers beyond that, which is 50 and 150. And 150 is the sort of famous Dunbar's number. And this is the number of people you feel like you have personal relationship with.
So that was Dr. Samuel Roberts from Liverpool John Moores University, who has studied the subject area and applied lots of different analyses to it. And it's a really, really good podcast, I have to say.
It's interesting because sometimes in Perth we think that we just know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But 150, no wonder we know everyone. That's a big group, isn't it?
It is a big group. And what's really cool as well is that he also applies a bit of a modern spin on it. So he looks at the impact of social media and how that affects not only the number of friends you have, but the depth of those relationships. And it's just, I found it a fascinating topic because it covers, we can all relate to it. And he's looking at it from lots of different perspectives. So he talks about the impact of friendship on mental health, as an example.
I can imagine.
And so forth. So, yeah.
How did you find that, Osric? Did you just search for friendship or how did you find your podcast?
I have a team of researchers in the UK called my sisters, who happen to be my best friends.
And, well, word of mouth is really important in podcasts.
It is. And she, one of my sisters, referred me to this particular podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give an honourable mention to another one?
Yes.
I found one called Control-Alt-Delete.
Aha, uh-huh, yes, I know that one.
Yeah, I've just come across it by chance, actually, because that was my own discovery. It was marketed as a podcast by women for women.
Mm-hmm.
I found it a little bit more accessible than that, because it's more about entrepreneurship and how you look at your career and balance that with work and so on. And I listened to a few and I found I was going to feature that. It was really good.
There's always plenty to mention. If you've got one, 0405 921 921. homework like Osric has had in Pickapod this week.
Well, I'm now addicted to podcasts. I've definitely subscribed to that one, and I will definitely be checking out the one you featured as well.
It's like music, isn't it? It doesn't matter when you discover it. If you enjoy it, then 100%. you can dive back into a back catalogue. Great fun.
And they make you think, which is great.
Yep.
Love it. Thanks, Danae.
Thanks,
Osric.
Lovely
talking to you this morning.